Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, guys? Take two. Welcome to the Kind of Funny Morning Show.
Don't nod. Do not nod at me.
I'm Tim Geddes.
Don't nod at me.
Fucking Kevin.
What?
This is no taxation himself.
You guys.
Paul Moriarty. The most underrated duo of Kind of Funny.
Looking like a broke down Sith.
I like it. It brings the red kind of brings out your like hate.
Looking like a broke down Sith Lord. No, didn't quite make it.
Well,
dropped out
mean?
Of Sith school.
Darth taxes.
Darth
taxation.
Darth Misery.
Yes. Darth Misery.
Now, it's good to be here. I'm never on the show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still trying to figure out where, like, this was on my desk this morning. It's a real, can I have the one, please? It's a real Make America Great Again hat. Now.
It was on my desk this morning.
Was it really?
I was like, yeah.
And then you gave it to me?
Well, I was like, well, you know, vote your conscience, so.
I did vote my conscience.
I know.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You didn't play
so
the game.
So what's the origin of this shit?
Oh, shit.
It's a real Make America
Wait
Great
a minute. Hold on. Holy crap.
What happened?
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where did it come from?
I don't know, but the funny
thing... I assumed that you got it and gave it to me as a practical joke.
No, I wouldn't do that. That's too expensive. Now, the funny thing about it is it says Made in China.
Oh, yeah.
On the hat. But Kevin, I was wondering, you should probably put it on.
I don't see why.
And... Go ahead. It's a snap bag.
No, you should put it on. You
no,
should put it on.
No, I'm not going to put this hat on.
It'll match your little outfit. Your little Darth outfit.
Ooh.
I can't put
That's
it on.
Weird, though. I wonder what the origin of this is.
We'll put it here for the entire show. I'm sure that won't be taken out of context.
If we must.
I mean, we really don't have to.
I didn't say we had to do anything. None of us even have to do the show right now.
No, I think that we do have to do that. Part of your job.
Look how big he is.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Kevin, put the hat on.
No.
I'm technically your boss.
Yeah, no, Nick's my boss. Everyone else is the owners of my company.
Nick would absolutely tell you to put this hat on, though.
And yet he couldn't if he wanted to. You know what I mean?
Well, the hat's not going anywhere. I can't dematerialize the hat.
No,
so
it's
one
okay.
day we're going to get it. We're going to get it onto your fucking head. Your fat
I
head.
Really
Where
doubt
the
it.
Fuck did the hat come from?
Like, I'm assuming.
Because here's the thing.
Someone must have sent it to the...
Oh, okay.
There's
no way Greg did this.
No, Greg wouldn't do this.
Oh, you know what? Maybe Greg bought it. Maybe Greg bought it for the Australian thing.
Oh, that would be funny.
And then
that would have been funny.
It didn't come in time, and he's just been holding it.
That sounds right.
That would have been fucking awesome if you wore this in Australia.
We definitely played the heel role in Australia and trumped it up a bit.
I'll never forget seeing one of these for the first time. Like someone in California wearing one. Before he was like anything at all. And I was like, that's an interesting hat.
I mean, it's the like worst design in the world. Like, I understand that we're a company that for our first year and a half, our logo was an Impact
Hey,
font.
Whoa.
But like...
We rocked that shit.
What is this fucking area?
Wait, Kevin, someone had a good idea. Put your face back on and don't move.
Oh, God.
Don't move, Kevin. There.
Oh. It's a fly, Kevin.
This
it's
is the fly,
Kevin.
Because he's like a fly. I hate this. You need to fix that, like.
I know. I just
There's
saw
issues.
That too.
There's issues. He trademarked it years ago, says Steve O. Matkick.
I'm sure he made a lot of money on these hats.
Yeah, God. What
we should sell a. Didn't we have an idea to sell a
Make the Vita great again?
Make Vita great again, yeah. Which we should still do.
Didn't pan out.
I mean, it would be a great hat, though.
It would be a great hat. How you doing, Colin?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still a little sick. I feel it in my face area, you know? And that itchy throat. I had a bunch of nightmares a couple nights ago, and I think it was because I was sick. I didn't like it.
Night terrors?
Yeah, I was waking up. I haven't, like, had that type of problem in years. Played through Fatal Frame 2.
I haven't talked to anyone about this, but I keep having like dreams with The Rock.
Uh-huh.
Of just him being mean.
Oh,
like coming to Kind of Funny Live 3 and just being mean.
An asshole.
I'm scared, guys.
I can't imagine him being a mean person.
Yeah,
no, I can't imagine it either, but like I also couldn't imagine you guys being mean and came real easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But Colin, so I've had a lot of nightmares, but I also had a dream that
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes. Yeah, it's very similar, actually. Right. It's like a little uncanny.
Right.
Like, I don't think that you are the target audience for this dream, but right. I feel like you might appreciate aspects of it.
Okay.
So, you know me. I scheme a lot. I think a lot. I'm always planning and like trying to like accomplish more than I'm capable of. In my dream, it was me and Nick, and we were at CBS.
The real CBS.
And we were pitching them on a reality show.
Okay.
And they're like, here's the thing. The reality show can't have to do with you, which was really hard for me to fathom and deal with, right? But I've been watching a lot of The Bachelor. This has kind of been an ongoing thing in my life the last couple of weeks. Mm. So I've been in this world of like reality TV, of dating stuff, because that's where the drama comes
from. Right,
drama is what people are here for. Who gives a fuck who wins and whatever? It's about the drama of the interactions, right? And I was like, how do we maximize drama? So me and Nick came up with a pitch, the perfect pitch for a reality show for CBS. It goes a little something like this. 30 contestants, right? No one ever gets eliminated. They're all there for a month in a giant mansion.
Okay.
30 contestants. And what's the goal? Who wins? I don't know. We'll figure that part out later.
Like
maybe if you're coupled up by the end, you get money or I don't know. We'll have to figure out the semantics of it. But the concept is you start with one person, right? The second person is that person's ex. The third person is the second person's ex.
Oh.
The fourth person, and so on and so on. So everybody has at least one ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, at least one. I'm sure we'll get some fun over
that. Right.
And those are storylines that'll develop.
I like that.
Right?
That's interesting. Okay.
And the person was like, that sounds a lot like high school. Everyone's just dating each other. And I respond, exactly. The name of the show, High School 2.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, I thought this out. And then I woke up and I'm like, I'm a fucking genius. So yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself for having a fairly fully thought out plan.
What was the nightmare?
In my dream. The nightmare was like, it was one of those things where just a lot of scary shit was happening. Me and Nick have been talking a lot about trying to make a horror short for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been trying to like really think about like what are the scariest things. And I think that's been having some ramifications on me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have nightmares too often. But I have the same kinds of dreams over and over again. Always trying to get somewhere, but never being able to accomplish what I'm trying to. Like, literally the same thing over and over again, just for years. I could be in any situation. Trying to find a store in the mall, can't find it. Trying to get to class on time, never get there.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Trying to, like, it's clearly a metaphor, right?
Something.
It's something weird. It's something weird within me. Like, I have those dreams over and over again. I got to write this paper for school for some reason.
It just never ends.
It's late, you know? Like,
there's such a weird sinking feeling you have when you know you're not making it on time. The paper's not going to get done. Whatever it is, it's just like, fuck, man.
Especially because, Tim, you know, I'm so deeply depressed that I sleep to escape life. As one does, Kevin. And then I'm set with existential problems in my dreams.
When you're sleeping, yeah. Oh, man, that's a problem.
Kevin, stop with the thing. You've become too big for your britches. I've seen people say it.
How big has he gotten?
I don't know. You're technically losing weight.
It's pretty big.
It's fucking horrifying, dude. You're a horrifying man. We got to get you into this hat, though, Kevin. I mean, you're made for this hat.
No.
Look at this thing. Greg bought it. He spent a lot of money. This went into Donald Trump. Maybe Ivanka Trump's bank account. Maybe Melania Trump's bank account. We're going to need you to wear this at some point.
That's
such
fun names.
Kevin, we use every part of the fucking the bison, the buffalo, including the Make America Great Again hat.
Can you pull up the tips? Not to read now.
Yep, I did. I brought them up already.
Cool, just to get them prepped. So let's get into the housekeeping stuff. This is the Kinda Funny Morning Show. It happens each and every day here, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can get it later over on youtube.com/kindoffunny or podcast services around the world, including Beyond Pod, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that stuff. And in addition to that, we got some cool fun news about Greg Miller.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go. He's in Vegas currently.
Good.
Playing the Nintendo Switch.
Let him stay there.
He's going to be hosting the DICE Awards tomorrow night at 7:30. You can watch him right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Greg was running through the jokes because it's him and Chobot hosting, and they're doing their whole like.
He wrote it?
Him and Drucker worked on it.
Oh, okay, cool.
That shit is funny as fuck. It's really good. I'm very proud of them. This is going to kill. I think people are going to like it a lot. Of course, there's going to be the haters. Fuck you guys. This shit's funny as hell. I bet you couldn't do better. Anybody. Drucker's a funny motherfucker.
Yeah, he is. No, he's a very good writer.
And Drucker and video game comedy, it's like, are you kidding me? It's just amazing.
It works.
Yeah, it works really well.
Be interested to see how Greg does.
Very excited about that.
We don't see enough of him, so we should really
No.
See more of Greg. I think one of the great demands that have been happening, I don't know if Kevin, if you can confirm this, but I feel like one of the great demands we have is everyone's like, we don't see nearly enough Greg.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do...
Well, Greg's not afraid. He doesn't hide.
What does that mean? I hide?
Why would you think that? Why is that what I'm
saying? It seems like that was your incident. I inferred that from what you said.
I was not implying anything. So I don't
because
know
I feel like... You know, in general, you know, it's the law of diminishing returns with me, Kevin. You know, like you got to have just a little bit of, you got to keep them right on the line.
Mm.
You can't have too much Colin, you can't have too much Kevin, you can't have too much Tim, because it rubber bands on you real quick. You want to keep them wanting more and more and more and more and more and more. And I don't know that that's necessarily a problem with Greg Miller. You know, he gives them a lot.
He does.
And he just gives them more.
He
anyway.
Has more to give though.
I mean, he has, I can't imagine Greg never having less to give
mm-hmm.
than what he has to give right now. Does that make sense to you, Kevin?
It does not.
Fair enough. Tim?
Doesn't make some sense to me at all. But I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. I get where you're going with it, but that sentence, I'm not sure.
I slept for like 3 hours last night, so I'm not even really sure what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I feel
video games?
Video games. Actually, I've been falling down the... So, every once in a while, I fall down the Howard Stern rabbit hole.
Mm.
And, you know, everyone's been talking a lot about freedom of speech, freedom of expression, all those kinds of things. I've been really kind of really falling down the rabbit hole with watching old Howard Stern clips from the 90s and early 2000s. And he just really pushed, I mean, we already know this, but he really pushed the limits. See, what a great man, what a smart man, what a great interviewer, what an important component of American media, you know? And especially watching do you know the Whack Back? Do you know anything about, like, I'm like, this is so amazing. Like, he just doesn't care.
The Sibian stuff he did. Where it was just the porn stars.
Just genius.
Just like...
Art, really.
Orgasming while being interviewed. I'm like, this is Tim humor if I ever saw it.
It's so brilliant. I mean, yeah, he does that in Private Parts, I think, right? With one of them, like... Or a woman straddles the speaker and stuff like that.
And I think hums into it.
But it's just so interesting that he just didn't care and just doesn't care. Like, he just says
what
he
wants. That's the thing, though, is like... That is not a true statement. He does care. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he says what he wants. It's like it all feeds into itself, and that's how, you know, hats get made and people become celebrities.
It's
When you just fucking, it's like South Park and all that shit. It's like you just, when you're doing something different very loudly, people are going to listen to it. Whether or not they like it, and that's, you see with all of these things we're talking about, you either love it or hate it.
His dry affect is like really what makes it for me. Like I was watching they had Bill Maher on. Like it was like in the late '90s with some of the Whack Pack doing Politically Incorrect, like but as if he was hosting a show with normal people. But it was like, you know, and he had, these are really the guys' names. Gary the Retard is one of the guys' names. Like all these things, right? And like he has a Daniel Carver, the Ku Klux Klan guy on the set. Like all together, Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And they're all just acting as if they're on an episode of Politically Incorrect. Like, this is insane. This is so amazing that he just pushed the limit. So it just went far beyond the line. He's an interesting man.
What was the movie that he was in? I remember it was really interesting.
Private Parts?
Was it Private Parts?
That's his, yeah, the book, yeah, about his life. Okay. Or the book, the, that, his book,
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember watching that when I was really young, just being like, this seems really cool.
It's just, I just, you know, and I was reading about, you know, specifically with his character or the guy that was on the show, Gary the Retard or whatever, like, I was like, I was, while I was reading about him, like, because I haven't watched it, so I really started to really appreciate him. Everyone knows who Howard Stern is. I mean, when I was in middle school and high school, I'd watch him on, you guys were a little young, I guess, but I was watching him on E, on the, on, you know, his show was on after school. It was like a part of the syndicated thing. And, but when I looked at Scott Bromley, Scott Bromley's a huge Howard Stern fan, and he had Howard TV, which is like the pay for kind of thing through Comcast. Mm-hmm. And I used to sit there with him every day and watch like an hour or so of it. And it's just really, really funny stuff. But I was reading about him recently with the, like, with the characters that he is inappropriately named, like the Gary the Retard character and all these other guys, where he actually had like a change of heart and like had renamed all these characters.
Yeah, now people in the chat are saying that it's Gary the Conqueror now.
Yeah, Gary the Conqueror. And then apparently, Aaron was telling me that Robin, who's like his sidekick or whatever, like, still, like, kind of, like, doesn't agree with that kind of stuff, but still calls them by their old name and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's just interesting that, like, he had the tenacity and the balls to do that. And I think the reason that he pushed the limit by using a word that he knew was offensive was because the FCC couldn't find him for using that word. Couldn't find him for having a Ku Klux Klan member on saying racist things and stuff like that. And it's like, it's just interesting radio.
Yeah.
And the movie Private Parts is really interesting. You know, Don Imus was the big deal. And then he came in and like stole Don Imus' thunder, basically.
Good lord.
Very interesting stuff.
I haven't seen him in years or heard him in years.
Stern?
Yeah. I know he does stuff, but like,
I'm pretty sure he when he signed that Sirius, that was the crazy thing. When he signed that contract with Sirius, $100 million a year. God, $100 million
awesome.
A year.
Good for him.
He was making. And it wasn't like for his show. Like they all, I was watching a video where about all their contract negotiations with Sirius, and they all negotiated separately.
Yeah.
So, like, that was just his money. Oof. I think his first deal was $500 million for 5 years.
My God.
And I think that whole thing, the only reason he still does radio is because it's like they're basically throwing so much money at him that he's, it's not like $20 million a year. It's like, he's like, well, how could you not do this for 3 days a week?
Wasn't he going to quit?
Yeah, I think twice he tried he was going to quit, and then they were like, they gave him so much money, like $500 million contract that like, you can't walk away from that kind of money.
That's baller.
Anyway, I do recommend if you guys are in a free, especially a younger audience, doesn't really, maybe, you know, not familiar with Stern because we're not really in, you know, terrestrial radio is not really a thing anymore. Go to YouTube and fall down the Howard Stern hole. You can do it for weeks and months. There's so much shit on there. It's
fascinating. I mean, I remember I didn't even ever watch him on TV. It was like downloading clips off Kazaa and just watching shit. I remember trying to find full episodes because I was like, this shit's hilarious. Anyways, Kev.
Yo.
Let's pull up the first story. Thank you.
Hold on one second.
So this has been kind of an ongoing situation, Colin.
Okay.
There's this little game called Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, I saw
the
this,
Insane
yeah.
Trilogy, mm-hmm. right? And there's been a big question of whether or not it's exclusive on the PlayStation 4, because when it was announced at E3, Sean Layden was very kind of like vague about the wording, and he was just like, we're partnered with Activision to bring back the originals, right. and you'll play as him first in Skylanders this year on the PlayStation 4. And it's like, okay. You didn't mention exclusivity. Mm-hmm. You didn't even say it first. You didn't even say anything, right? Then there's been a lot of questions since, like, we haven't seen anything on the box art of exclusive on PlayStation. But nowadays, that's not even necessary. Things like Nioh don't have that on the box art. We talked about this last week on the show. Yesterday, PlayStation Ireland tweeted out. Someone was like, hey, is Crash going to be exclusive to PlayStation? They're like, yeah. Exclusive to PlayStation. Everyone was tweeting at me and NeoGAF blowing up and stuff. And I'm like, guys, can you not see through this? Like, this is not going to be confirmed by PlayStation Ireland, right?
Yeah, no.
Like, no.
All no, of, they're like, out of the loop.
Yeah, they have no, PlayStation Ireland doesn't know what the fuck is going on at all.
No, they definitely don't. They definitely don't.
So then, now, today, or it was late last night, PlayStation Ireland tweeted out, be like, no, so, to clarify, it will be coming to PlayStation 4 and PS4 Pro first.
That's not a huge surprise.
Interesting. Great news, I think. Great news. Because what does this mean? Xbox One, obviously. Nintendo Switch?
Maybe.
Hopefully.
My theory is that it's not coming to Xbox One. It's coming to PC. I just feel like there's something weird. A little off about them revealing that at the PlayStation conference and then never saying anything about it.
Well, they revealed it at E3. At PlayStation's conference,
yeah.
But then at PSX, they showed the first gameplay of it.
Right.
But the thing is, it's like the Crash has been on every console for a long time now.
That's true, not these games.
Yeah, not these games. But technically, PlayStation doesn't own these games.
No, I know.
So
Yeah, it's possible.
It would be weird, but the thing
it would
is,
be good to proliferate there's, it
there's
through
a
most platforms.
That's the thing is it'll sell more, which is good news for the franchise. But what's interesting is there's been cases like this before, like with GoldenEye. When they did the GoldenEye remake, it was everywhere.
Yeah, that came to PS3.
Yeah, so there's things like that. And also that's with true. Activision in particular, with Diablo 3, they also did this weird vague wording of not mentioning it was coming to other consoles, but it did come to Xbox One.
But my question about the GoldenEye thing was, all I remember about GoldenEye, by the way, about the GoldenEye remake, is that when we were at E3 one year, one of the people on the video team at IGN broke the embargo that no one knew if the game existed. We actually leaked it. That's what I remember about that the most. But wasn't it on Wii first, and then it bombed on Wii? Yep, so I wonder if it was only ported because it didn't reach sales figures.
Random fun story really about that I don't know, I'm probably breaking some NDA, but it probably doesn't matter because it's old. But before I even worked at IGN, I used to do video game focus testing, like focus group stuff. And I went to downtown SF. We all sat in a room, a bunch of people, and I'm like, I'd be very interested in how much these guys know about the history of games or anything. They start describing a game, and I'm like, they're talking about GoldenEye. Like, they're fucking and I was just like, is this GoldenEye 2? And they're like, well, yeah, no, well, I guess the cat's out the bag, yeah. So we're working on a GoldenEye remake on the Wii. And I was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? And like, that's how I found out. But yeah,
you broke the NDA. Now they're going to come arrest you, Kevin. Call the cops. Call the video game police, Kevin.
Whoever the fuck made that,
Kevin. They only answer phone calls from people in red hats.
Don't. No.
You'll get it one day.
We just need one frame, Kevin, for someone to get a picture.
Yeah, but I think this is interesting, and we will see. I hope it comes. I really do hope it comes to the Switch because I think that's the type of game that could do really well on the Switch, platformers and things like that. Could sell well. And again, I just want this franchise to succeed. I want a chance at Crash Team Racing coming back and that type of stuff. So,
well, Switch is, I don't know how it's going to fit into that Switch catalog. So many games coming out for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any, I don't know, Kevin.
Every day games are being added, Call. Every day.
Man, that launch
over
line
over 61
though, huh?
One coming through.
61 games?
Fuck about a launch line. We got Zelda.
Okay. But this is the I can't even have this argument.
I would rather play Zelda than anything that launched on PS4.
Well, me too, actually. But yeah. but then what?
That's all that matters.
Because everyone keeps saying
Mario Kart and all that
PS4
shit.
And Xbox One did set a new bar. I don't care what anyone says, set a new bar for launch lineups. There are a lot of great games.
Yeah, there was a lot of good games. There was a lot of okay, I guess that's here games. I bought a PS4 day one, and I'm like,
me too, believe it or not.
Don't really give a fuck about playing these games. It was like, all right, I guess I will play Marvel Avengers.
Pretty big deal, though, that it launched with a Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed and a Battlefield.
Yeah, that's true.
That's never going to get, that's never gonna, that lineup's points, never going
to
get beaten.
Solid points that are irrelevant to me. So I'm like, games
actually,
I don't
irrelevant
play,
to me
or
well.
Games I do play.
I didn't play Battlefield or Assassin's Creed, though I did play, because everyone's like, they were ports, and I'm like, the games came out 2 to 3 weeks before the PS4 launch, so they're really not ports in the same vein that we're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
But it's like ports in the way where it's like, these aren't truly made for the new system.
No,
I remember that happened with Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, the generation before, where they made it for the PS2 era, but then they also made it for Xbox 360, and it was a piece of shit, because it was like half gen.
It's like King Kong.
Yeah.
Remember that, Jim?
Fucking King.
Kevin remembers King Kong.
King Kong.
Oh, God.
I don't remember it.
What?
I don't remember King Kong.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You were too busy studying your biology books.
They were big.
Next story, Kev. Star Wars IMAX news here. Some Star Wars The Last Jedi scenes shot in IMAX. This is according to Alex Gileadov over at IGN. Disney's announced that Star Wars The Last Jedi has been partially shot in IMAX. Director Rian Johnson has captured specific sequences from the film using IMAX cameras, which provide an exclusive aspect ratio and an increased image quality. J.J. Abrams also partially shot The Force Awakens in IMAX. At least part of the IMAX footage of The Last Jedi was shot on location in Ireland, presumably on the island of Skellig Michael, for the first Jedi Temple scenes involving Luke and glimpsed briefly at the end of The Force Awakens. Along with The Last Jedi, several other Disney films will also be shot in IMAX as part of an extended multi-picture deal between Disney and IMAX that will run until 2019. The deal includes films such as Lucasfilm's untitled fifth Indiana Jones movie, Star Wars Episode IX, Beauty and the Beast, A Wrinkle in Time, Mulan, The Incredibles 2, Toy Story 4, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Black Panther, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Avengers Infinity War, the untitled Han Solo Star Wars movie, and the untitled fourth Avengers movie.
It's a lot of movies.
It is a lot of movies, which is really interesting. Things being shot in IMAX is a very special thing. There hasn't been too many in our history, and every time it's always like a feat. of cinematic marvel. Going to see that shit in IMAX theaters, it's like, this is how movies fucking should be.
I don't think, does Nick like IMAX movies?
Yes.
But yeah. He doesn't like 3D movies.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is totally different. IMAX is like, just a bigger, wider aspect ratio.
He just seems like a purist, though. Like, he wouldn't like anything like that.
Well, no, but I mean, that's his pure. That's pure.
So that's as pure as
IMAX is pure.
Like, yeah. Pure, it's like cocaine that's really pure, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that shit's good. What's interesting here is they're talking about like shooting in IMAX, and then they mention Incredibles 2, which is a CG movie. So I don't know that necessarily counts.
Can they, if they just make it really big, wouldn't that count?
Well, it's not shooting in IMAX.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not. I mean, a CG movie in IMAX isn't a big deal. Let's just make it that way.
Why don't?
Anyway, very very exciting. The IMAX shots in Force Awakens were great. Next story, Kev.
Okay.
Sticking on movie news. It's some real sad shit here, Colin, that I know you're going to care about so goddamn
much. That's the girl from Game of Thrones.
It is, yes. Sophie Turner. X-Men writer Simon Kinberg rumored to direct a Dark Phoenix X sequel. Talk of a sequel to X-Men Apocalypse has been rampant as of late. There have been rumors of titles, shooting dates, actors returning, and more. But one thing there hasn't been an answer to is who might write and direct the expected X sequel. Now, that name may finally be revealed. The name is Simon Kinberg, who has co-written and produced the last three X-Men films, as well as produced Fantastic Four, Deadpool, Logan, basically everything in the X-Men franchise since First Class. Collider reports that Kinberg, who has never directed a feature film, is in talks to direct the next X sequel from a script he's already written. And yes, that script would be the telling of the Dark Phoenix saga, which has been teased numerous times in the franchise. So here's the thing, Colin. Here's why this is alarming. X-Men franchise. So you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you look at the DC Cinematic Universe, and then there's the X-Men Cinematic Universe. R.I.P. Spider-Man. He's done, right?
Right.
Now he's in Marvel. Yay.
Okay.
Marvel, track record good. DC, track record bad.
Right.
X-Men, track record all over the fucking place. There's ups, there's downs, who the fuck knows.
Right.
Logan is coming out next week, supposedly.
It looks good.
Amazing. Getting reviews, talking about it being the best superhero movie since Dark Knight, like all this stuff, like... I'm stoked.
Rises, I'm sure.
Very, very stoked about this, right? But X-Men seen some good days, seen some bad days. Days of Future Past, two movies ago, excellent.
Right.
They did a great job. First Class before that, excellent. Apocalypse.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
Nobody liked Apocalypse.
Right.
Nobody liked Apocalypse. And that's when Simon Kinberg getting more and more involved. Also, heavily involved in writing X-Men The Last Stand, the third X-Men movie, which is... almost unanimously decided trash.
Okay, I never saw that one. I saw the first two X-Men movies.
Yeah, and those are regarded as being very good for their time.
Yeah.
You look at them now and you're like, eh.
My dad accidentally rented one of them. I remember that's how I watched it.
Well, X2, I'll always love X2. But yeah, X3 fucking sucked really bad. And he was really heavily involved in that. And that was the Dark Phoenix thing. So him doing it again, it's like, no, guys, no. Stop!
Stop! I thought the Fantastic Four would be the harbinger.
Oh, and then that too. He wrote I think the last 20 minutes of Fantastic Four.
Just the last 20 minutes, huh?
I think so, because it was a whole fucking thing. But anyways, very upsetting stuff. Like the X-Men just need to really get the shit.
Are you aware that your brother has never seen any of the Marvel movies?
I believe it. I believe it.
No. I think I'm gonna this week, Colin. This
yeah.
is an invitation for you as well. I'm gonna watch them all.
Which ones?
All of them. All
the Marvel movies?
Yeah. The like
Jesus
proper
God,
Marvel
I would
movies.
I'd rather just die.
Let's just do it together. It'd be fun. Come on.
You want I'd rather just die, Kevin.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it.
No, we'll
do it together. It'll be fun. Bonding.
Marvel's not my thing.
But that's
Batman
because you
is only Batman is.
That's because you haven't given Marvel a chance.
I mean, I
stop. You're gonna make yourself sound silly.
But I saw the Spider-Man films back in the day.
You see what you
the
did?
The X-Men movies. Iron Man.
Are you seeing this? You liked Iron Man though, right?
Yeah,
the All one. Right,
well, that Marvel was the first movie. Marvel movie.
I saw that with Charles Agnet.
Good
and,
man,
and
that Sin Charles Senkowski.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Charles Agnet is?
I don't.
You know Charles Agnet. You've met Charles Agnet many times.
Okay.
All right.
I guess what I'm saying is I'd love to spend time with you, Kevin. I'd love to, we can
Let's
watch
go to
my
house. I'll make macaroni and cheese for us. It'll be great.
But it's the subject matter. Like, it's just, I can't.
But if you don't
I can't
know.
With Marvel, with, you know, the Ant, but the Ant one, guy and the
he's actually Ant Dude and Fantastic Four is Fox.
But they're Marvel properties, right?
But they're
yeah,
not.
That doesn't I mean, matter they, though.
Not
that's
in
like
the Marvel
saying
cinematic universe. It's a thing.
Do you really yeah. want the Fantastic Four in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I mean, yeah, because the Fantastic Four in the Fox universe sucks. It's not even in the Fox universe, right?
I mean, it is, but it's not.
I mean,
not in the
it's not. Yeah, it's not in the X Men Fox universe. It's stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's fucking
you should
stupid.
Come. You should come to my house after work today. We're gonna go watch. Man,
I gotta edit Colin was right.
Captain America, though.
I'm so far behind because I'm doing two episodes this week, so I have one ready for next week because it's GDC. And
when are we recording that?
I'm probably gonna have to come in tomorrow or Friday. I mean, at worst, I'll come in Monday. This the script that I'm working on is just not it's not coming together.
Simpatico 115 in the chat says you can only meet someone once, Tim. LOL. Not true. If you meet someone briefly, don't see him for a year, then you have to you've come across them again. You're re-meeting them,
right?
You know, I would argue. That
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. I think that's kind of semantical. I would agree with you.
I'm also one of them dumb kids. I can say what the fuck I want.
Do you want to read? You want me to read any of these tips?
Yeah. You know what? Let's get into them tips.
Jesus God. All right.
Is there a lot?
Yes. Yeah, so today's Wednesday, right? Yeah.
Sure is.
Okay. Francis G33 says, was listening to an old episode of Beyond the Fireside Chats 2 where Colin told Clements he would never leave IGN. He then started the next sentence, but it's kind of funny. Made me
damn.
Oh, I lied to all your faces when I said that, of course. Gas M Cookie gave us a tip and said, Tim, will we see a Hail Colin shirt or sweater sometime soon with the Colin Hydra logo?
Probably not.
Been trying to buy merch, but you're out of larges for a lot of items.
Yep. So again, just to be transparent about this all, American Apparel went under, causing a lot of difficulties for people to restock shirts. Merch distributors around the world are fucked, including Rooster Teeth. They're trying to figure it out. They're doing a great job trying to get more buyers, to get more shirts, to restock stuff. But bear with the store. It is trying its best.
Do you know they actually didn't go under? They got bought by another company, and the company was just like, nah, you're done.
No, yeah,
exactly. Shut them down. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. How GM bought all the electric battery companies in the 90s to kill the electric car. You guys should watch the documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car? I just spoiled it for you. Walkin' Talkin' Stephen Hawking, best name. Says, hey guys, long time no watch. Have you seen the reviews for this game, Horizon Zero Dawn?
Mm.
Looks pretty good. Do you think it's worth the $6, though? The game sucks.
I think it's worth it.
Ooh, game's terrible. Truth finally comes out.
Uh-oh.
Calls it all the balls to say it.
No, for real, Horizon Zero Dawn is the best PlayStation 4 first-party game, including better than Uncharted 4. And I'm looking forward to everyone enjoying it. It takes place on the moon. In case you're curious.
Dude, people are tripping about that.
I know, it's awesome.
No lie, when I walked
it's
in,
so
like,
awesome.
I was doing something while they were recording that, and I came in, and that's all they were talking about. And I was like, does it?
You're going to find out when you play it yourself.
Greg told me it takes place on Mars.
It takes place on the moon. And that's
of
a huge...
Mars.
I love it. The other thing, what did someone say? I was reading NeoGAF. I actually posted it because it was... Someone was like, this five-second segment... is a spoiler from our review or from the podcast or from BS I Love You. And I went and listened to the 5 second thing and it was something about how you're going to be surprised about when and where it takes place. I'm like, that's not a spoiler. Spoiler culture is, I appreciate not spoiling anything. I get mad. Someone spoiled The Killing for me a while ago, years ago, and it really pissed me off.
What was The Killing?
What is it? It was an AMC show about this like murder of a girl. And actually, one of the characters in it is the guy who played Cole in the Infamous games. There's a little, Eric Layden, his name is. But I'm like, that's not a spoiler. But I am spoiling it for you right now. Horizon Zero Dawn takes place on... And it's all fucked up.
And it's all fucked up.
I cut your audio. So you were like, Horizon takes place, and I cut it.
You gotta protect the people.
Then I brought it back, and you're like, and it's all, and then I cut it again.
Oh, man.
The Hot Boy gave us a tip. Said, the Hot Boy, if you're reading this, Colin, I mean, you don't have to spell it out for me. It literally says the Hot Boy. But then you've like phonetically spelled. I'm not Greg. Okay, Kevin? Greg struggles with names. Don't applaud that. That's not a feat.
Good Lord.
It says, Colin, can Kev give you the one? And can you tell my friend Jose Fernandez how bad PC gaming is? Kevin, give me the one. PC gaming is actually not nearly as bad as I make it out to be. Thank you, Kevin. All right.
Never ask Colin to do anything.
Josh.
He won't do it.
Josh O'Tater says, Tim, Trump's making America great again. Mm. Let's make Coca-Cola great again. John Pemberton OG recipe.
What the fuck does that mean?
What does that mean?
Don't bring Coca-Cola into this. What the fuck?
Real Radic 13, so Killzone reference, Kevin. Says, what are your hopes? I'm sorry?
Is it?
Yes, Radic is a Killzone character. What are your hopes for Kingdom Hearts 3? What worlds would you like to see? This, I'll leave this to Tim. It says, personally, I would love to see Toy Story and Robin Hood. Robin Hood is the best Disney movie. Do you realistically think Square will release it? Robin Hood's my favorite Disney movie, followed by Peter Pan, followed by Fox and the Hound.
Sad movie.
I was gonna say, pull out some random ones to piss everyone off. Say like Mulan.
The Rescuer, Down Under. Don't talk shit about Mulan.
Mulan's not in the top three. It's Robin Hood, Peter Pan, Fox and the Hound.
Hercules. Those are the most calling answers, like fucking possible. Like that's so funny. It's like not even the Golden Age, not even the Silver Age, just like those.
Well, I can hate on those. Those fucking, are great.
I mean, you can't hate on them, but anyways. Kingdom Hearts 3, I really do want a Frozen world. I think, like, we should get it. But I think that'd be fun. And I want there to be a Marvel world and a Star Wars world. I don't want Marvel to, like, here's Spider-Man, here's this, and here's this. I want specifically, you know, the right things. I'm not in these.
They're not.
These were.
Stop. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
It's in L.A.
Talk about it later, for God's sake.
I will talk about it later. You fuck. All right. Bring shit up early.
I need to check
it. I understand, Kevin.
Jason McCullough.
What's he got to say?
Says, Colin, in your Game Over Greggy topic, you talk about homage to sports teams. I grew up in Arkansas, so with no NFL team, I became a fan of the Baltimore Ravens around their 2000 series. I feel like it's okay. I mean, you can tell yourself whatever you want. It is difficult to be from a place with no sports teams. But there's a geographic kind of relationship. I feel like in Arkansas, you should probably be a Tennessee Titans fan. Just like in Virginia, Virginians are typically Redskins fans because of the geographic proximity. You can't just go around picking anything you want. That's not the way it works, Kevin. Eric Koval says, hey, Colin, and kind of funny best friends who are Yankees fans, check out my podcast. It's called Yankee Names to Knows and breaks down some interesting Yankees prospects in camp this spring. Does this look like your promotional platform, Eric? Kevin, I want to see you on the screen real quick. Falcon Box gave us... I'm like losing my mind. I'm reading tips. You can interrupt me whenever you want.
Oh, okay. Keep going. We'll do two more tips. And then
Falcon Box.
We'll get back to the story.
So, hey, Colin, you said in the Horizon review you were dealing with some personal issues during your playthrough. Hope all is well. Have a drink on me. Thank you very much. I was. That's why I haven't beaten it yet, because I was taken away from it for quite some time. But everything's fine. Thank you. What?
I put this in here if we want to do it as a story. I think you, out of everyone, will enjoy it the most.
But I talked to you about how I feel about Alex Trebek. You know how I feel about him.
He's sexually attractive.
How do you feel about Alex Trebek?
Alex Trebek bothers me because he says the answers when someone gets a question wrong as if he knew the answer.
He is an actual
And he
genius.
Doesn't know the answer. He's like, no, it's...
15 minutes before the show starts,
You know, the Moogles or something like that. I'm like, what?
You didn't know that?
You don't know that, Alex. Stop saying it with such confidence. Like, you're not reading it off the cue card. I'm on to your fucking
what
game.
You don't actually know is 15 minutes before the show, he, like, makes the cards, puts them up there. It comes out of here. Right here. His mind.
Alex Trebek knows all.
He's full of shit.
All right.
High fructose porn syrup.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It says, Colin, what is Amy Gills like in real life? Well, I met Amy Gills. We actually had her over for dinner. And she's very nice woman. Pretty much exactly as she is online, actually.
She's legit.
She's a sweetheart.
She's as real as it gets.
If she was American, we'd maybe hire her one day. But we don't hire people outside of the United States. Because...
Oh, my God.
We're making America great again.
Oh, my God. Hey, Kev, we're going to skip a couple stories. Let's go straight to the Jim Sterling story.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Jim.
Yeah. This is from over at Kotaku. Court throws out digital homicides case against critic Jim Sterling. So it's not that long. All right. Yesterday, a court dismissed game developer Digital Homicides' $10 million case against YouTube critic Jim Sterling. Fortunately for those of us who write about video games, Sterling's scathing critique of Digital Homicide's game Slaughtering Grounds won't create precedent for developers slamming critics with million-dollar lawsuits. Quote, I'd say this should at least serve as a warning to developers that such extreme measures might sound good as threats, but are generally just a bad idea, Sterling said in an email. Critics, too, should take note. Yes, this case was frivolous, but it still had to be taken seriously once it was served. Years ago, Sterling published a YouTube video describing Digital Homicide Slaughtering Grounds as a, quote, new worst game of 2014 contender. Sterling, who regularly plays games he considers hilariously bad, skewered Slaughtering Grounds, deemed it an absolute failure. His critique implied Digital Homicide was selling an original game composed of unoriginal materials or asset flipping. In response, Digital Homicide accused Sterling of playing the game incorrectly, perhaps to entertain or attract viewers. They soon filed a DMCA takedown to wipe Sterling's video from YouTube. Quote, we find the usage of the terms worst game of 2014 contender and absolute failure to describe the entirety of our product while not actually evaluating it in its entirety unfair and an unreasonable use of our copyrighted material, they wrote. YouTube briefly removed the video but reinstated it after Sterling petitioned. It could have ended there, but last March, the MIF developer filed a lawsuit accusing Sterling of assault, libel, and slander in Arizona District Court. On top of the $10 million sum, Digital Homicide asked for apologies in place of every offending article and video for a period of no less than 5 years.
Fucking psychotic.
Now that this was a startling sight for game critics, if taken seriously, Digital Homicide's lawsuit could constitute a threat against critics who published negative reviews on large platforms. A little desperate, Digital Homicide later sued 100 mostly anonymous Steam users for $18 million in the wake of negative Steam comments. What the fuck? Steam subsequently removed Digital Homicide's games from the platform, citing the company's hostility to Steam customers. Thankfully, Digital Homicide's case didn't make it very far. Sterling told me the agreement to dismiss the case was exactly the result he'd hoped for, although after a year of this, he's pretty tired. What's particularly disturbing about lawsuits like this is that even in cases where they're clearly frivolous, as this was, they can force critics to spend significant amounts of money on legal defenses. Sterling had to hire a lawyer, Bradley Hartman, who helped convince the court to dismiss this case, in which Sterling's words involved, quote, series of allegations that were difficult to comprehend even for the one accused of them. Not all threats from the internet are idle ones, and I wouldn't recommend anybody brush them off, Sterling concluded.
It's a big deal. So I was following, you know, Jim Sterling's a buddy of mine, and I was following this case pretty closely. Let me start since I have the one here, Kevin. Digital Homicide and all the guys associated with that company, go fuck yourselves. Go fuck yourselves. Okay? Go fuck yourselves for what you did to Jim Sterling. But apart from that, the case. What's important here is the case was thrown out with prejudice, which is a very important thing, which means that the court is basically like, do not even attempt to do this again, like in this way to Jim. And throwing something out without prejudice means that you can like reconfigure what you did and go mad at him again. So the court was like, no.
Nah, you're done.
And this was designed to have a chilling effect. If you really go into the depth and see what Jim's original videos, the podcast, Jim, I think, did a podcast with the guy. People can really jump down the rabbit hole and see how just demented these people were. And remember that these guys also tried to sue 100 anonymous reviewers on Steam, tried to get Valve to...
$18 million.
Tried to compel Valve to give them, as the story states, private names, similar to how the government sometimes goes at Twitter or something like that to try to find the people's names and identities so they can, people, you know, the government can go after them or whatever. Jim obviously won. I always was confident Jim would win, but I know he's a friend of mine, and I know in conversations with him and seeing things he's posted and stuff like that, I know that this has been a stressful ordeal for him, a very stressful ordeal, as it would be for anyone. Even if you are pretty confident that you're going to have this positive outcome, being sued for millions of dollars for stating an opinion on the internet about someone's shitty game, if that court case went a different way, it would have set, as the story suggests on Kotaku, a dangerous precedent.
Definitely. Now, the final news story of the day, Kev. Yeah, you have it right there. Little interesting news for those that give a fuck about social media out there. Instagram releases self-improvement tool for the worst people you follow. Also, you can call this headline, an interesting tool is being added to Instagram that people are going to find very helpful. Essentially, starting today, they're rolling out a feature where you can have an album worth of pictures. So if we were to go to E3 and Greg's Horizon thing, for example, instead of posting 10 million pictures over the course of a week, of the same thing. It can be 10 pictures of the same thing where you swipe left and right. So it's like if you go to a brunch with your girls.
Right. As
and
I
you're
do.
Taking all the different pictures of your little Eggs Benny.
Right.
And you're like mimosas.
Right.
We don't need every single angle to be like taking up your feed for fucking.
Right.
Like scroll on scroll.
I like
scroll.
That.
So it's optional. I like that. That's good functionality.
Would you believe
for the
that?
Gram.
Would you believe that I went to brunch with my girls on Saturday?
I appreciate that.
I was the
that.
Only man at that brunch.
That's how you should do brunch. That's the right way to do brunch.
It was a good brunch. 15 Romolo was just a really fantastic place.
Mm, mm.
But that sounds nice to me. I've been reading a lot about Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat recently. Mm-hmm. Snapchat's going public soon.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I said very soon for way too much.
Yep, and they are that company is as fucked as the day is long, and I think everyone knows it. But the interesting thing about them is that I read this huge piece. You probably saw it because you're interested in this kind of stuff. I think it was in the New York Times. About how they're hedging completely on hardware. That I think that what they realize is that Facebook and Instagram are going to ultimately eat their lunch on Snapchat's software functionality, and they already are trying to do that, and it's working, mm-hmm. apparently. Their growth was only after Instagram rolled out their like complete carbon copy of Snapchat, growth went from something like 16% quarter over quarter to 2% quarter over quarter. So they're putting all of their profits in a very Amazon-like way and building hardware, which mm-hmm. is, you know, they're building all those glasses. Spectacles. Snapchat's fucked. Like, I don't care what anyone says. That company's fucked. There's no way that you
Snapchat
can... Because
so
I was
reading, much money.
I was reading, there was a bunch of anonymous, I guess, investors in there being like, this isn't going to work. Like, this is pushing a huge boulder up a hill. They have an outside chance of success, but getting bogged down in hardware is considered not a smart move for
a
company like that.
I don't. My thing is, I think that Snapchat is they have the secret recipe behind the scenes, and they're just doing the right things in terms of partnering with content creators and making Snapchat a destination. Whether or not you know that you're using Snapchat. The way that they're partnering with a bunch of people behind the scenes to make content on their own YouTube channels and stuff. Like, I really think Snapchat, they could go the way of the dodo, but I don't think they will. I think that they're going to keep on growing because they're making really smart decisions. And I think that the spectacles and stuff, that is a niche market thing that is just to create hype for the millennials out there. Like, high schools around the world are dominated by Snapchat.
No, I understand that, but they're spending all of their profit. They were saying they spent half of their gross revenue on hardware, which means that, you know, it's like what Uber does. It's actually, there are two major companies that have been doing this for a long time. Uber and Amazon have been intentionally losing money for different reasons. Amazon's whole thing was to basically invest like over and over and over again, trying to get you involved in things that will give them proprietary access over like say your books, which has worked with Kindle, but then they have things like their Fire tablet or their phone that no one cared about, but they keep dumping money into it and they have very patient investors. So they're able to do that. With Uber, they're basically burning their money in such a way that they understand that eventually they have to remove the human element out of their investments, and that eventually when they run out of money, the hope is that they have the cars just pulling up with no one and then they have no one to pay, then it's all going to be, you know, revenue-based or revenue back for them. Because the interesting thing about Uber, this is getting really nerdy, but like I think 80% of the money goes to the drivers on like a gross fare, so $20, $16 of that would go to the driver. Their whole idea is that they're taking like $1 billion hit per quarter by paying out more than they're worth, understanding that once they remove the human element and have no one to pay, the prices can stay the exact same, and suddenly they're not making $4 on $20, they're making $20 on $20, and suddenly they just make an enormous amount of money. Mm-hmm. I don't see the out for Snapchat, I just don't. And like, but the last time a major company, a major social media company went public in such a way that it seemed dubious, which was Facebook.
They went high, went low,
and then pop back up.
Well,
so
I think Twitter was after that. Wasn't
they
it?
Were, but Twitter's fucked.
Facebook's well, yeah, that's the thing. Twitter went open super high, went really high for a little while, and then fucking now it's at $14.
Like, I really believe that Snapchat will go public and probably regret doing it. But we'll see. They should have sold. They should have sold to a private equity firm when they had the chance, and they still have the chance. But the other interesting thing. This is an interesting. I think I talked to you about this. Sequoia Capital, I think, was a company which is a massive investor in these things, saying that they will no longer invest in any companies. I think it was Sequoia Capital saying they will no longer invest in any delivery services that have any people involved in them. In other words, like they say it's impossible for Postmates or Lyft or Uber or whatever to make any money until they remove the human element, and will no longer be investing in those things. And I was reminded of that yesterday when I tried to buy Beeps Burger for my house, and they were trying to charge me $20 delivery fee for that. Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, you know, it's pretty far.
But it was their surge price. It usually is $10, which I would have paid. Anyway, all these companies are fucked.
That's the thing. Uber's already figuring out the Uber Eats. Like, if they don't have drivers and they can do the Uber Eats while they're Ubering someone, you know?
Right.
There's no cost in, like, having someone go and deliver it.
That was the final news story. Colin, can you finish out the tips there?
Sure. I sure can. I like not hosting. I like being at your beck and call, Tim.
I like it. It's kind of hot, you know?
Yep. Illegible Cow 8 says, Colin, I've started listening to 311 recently and I'm hooked. You're welcome. I was wondering if there are any similar groups that you'd like to recommend. Keep up the great work. Also, MVGA, that's Make Vita Great Again, Kevin.
Yep.
He also says Bongos. Similar groups to 311. I mean, 311 is a pretty unique band. I mean, if you're into that like rap rock sound, then you can fall down in the 90s hole if you want.
It's a good hole.
But I mean, honestly, I think that the closest, comparison to them would be something like Linkin Park, if you want that rap rock sound. If you want,
first two albums.
Yeah, Hybrid Theory and Meteora. Yeah, you don't want to listen to anything else. But if you want more of like the rock sound and that reggae sound, I mean, you can go to Sublime or Red Hot Chili Peppers and stuff. I mean, there's like their DNA is, you know, especially with Chili Peppers.
Linkin Park released a new album this year. They just dropped the first single. The most poppy sounding thing they've done. It's interesting. Honestly, their last couple albums, I've just popped in and just like gave them a listen. I'm pretty impressed. I think that's a band that has stayed relevant despite losing the popularity that they had.
Yeah, I think they still play pretty big venues.
They're the top of the game. Like, they sell out arenas and like they have so many hits. Like, over the years, it's not just In the End anymore.
Right.
It's like they've added and added and added, and like they've switched genres so many times. Like, I'm impressed by them.
I mean, I've said before, and I know it's like, you know, it's against music pretension, you know, which is something Ramon and I talk about a lot, because I feel like our tastes have become more pretentious as we've gotten older, because we're like, well, we're kind of ashamed of those things. But I was talking to him. It actually came up because we were talking about that first Papa Roach record, mm-hmm. in Fest, and I was like, the fact of the matter is, I'm like, that's a really great record. Like, I don't care like what anyone thinks about that now, but like, everyone had that album in 2000. Like, that album sold millions and millions of copies, and I hate how people kind of abandon things now. It's like not cool. It's the same thing I always say about Limp Bizkit. I'm like, everyone's listening to Limp Bizkit in 1998. You know? Now suddenly everyone acts like no one listened to it. It's the same thing that happened to Creed, right? Where everyone's like, apparently no one listened to Creed. They somehow sold out arenas and all, yeah. And tens of millions of albums, but no one listened to them. But I was saying Hybrid Theory, specifically Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory, is really pound for pound one of the great records of the modern era. Like, I think it was so funny because they legitimized that genre at a time when that genre was dying. Like, they were too late. They could have had a much greater effect on it if that album came out in like 1995.
Mm.
But nonetheless, I mean, I remember getting that album in 2000 and being blown away by it.
I mean, I think what they did was, I mean, we've talked about this many times, but then coming out with Reanimation, like, that introduced me to underground hip hop. Like, it was such a, between that and Gorilla's self-titled album at the same time, like, that was just, there was so much shared collaborators on both that I'm like, these guys are fucking talented. And then from there, I kind of like drifted off and went that direction. But it's just great, man.
Chad Warden says, I can't take the Switch with me. How am I supposed to get some honeys with a Switch? Yo, baby, look at my Switch. You know what they say to me? They fucking laugh. I get all the honeys with my PS quadruple.
Yes.
You know what? Don't ever watch this show again. Dan from Vancouver. Dan from Vancouver gave us a tip.
Good old Dan.
Says, what does Bill Maher get wrong specifically? When will you go on Dave Rubin? Why didn't you vote for Evan McMullen? I thought his politics probably aligned with yours more than Gary Johnson. Well, there's a lot of questions here. No comment on the Dave Rubin thing. Bill Maher gets a lot wrong. I don't know how much time you have. I love Bill Maher, though. I'm seeing him live in May. It's going to be fun. Evan McMullen is a nut job. Thank you for your questions. Born Against says, Sony always wins, baby. The PS4, that shit is slick and black, like my hair. You see my hair? You like that shit? It was blonde before the shit. I dyed that shit because the PS4 is black. Sony the bomb, baby.
Is this the same guy?
Nope.
What the fuck? What are you guys drinking today?
Well, you can change your name.
They both live in Flint, Michigan. It's a water joke, Kevin. It's a joke about how the water in Flint, Michigan's all fucked up.
No, they must have fixed that by now. They haven't fixed that by now. It is still fucked up. Did you see that the chat's blowing up about this NASA stuff?
Yeah, I think they found some planets or something.
Yeah, there it is. They found a bunch of planets.
Well, they are they exoplanets, Earth. Obviously?
Yeah.
It's not like a Trojan or something like that,
they're,
right?
They're
or a brown dwarf.
They're Earth-sized planets in habitable zone, and there's like a bunch of them, 40 light years away.
40 light years away.
Those are the headlines that I've read.
That's great. That's really attainable.
Right there.
Oh, it's certainly right there.
That's the planet that Horizon takes place on, I heard.
I told you Horizon took place on the moon. It's not a planet. It's a moon. Satellite. All right. Bentley454 says, thank you for the Dirty Grandpa recommendation. I had no laughs by the end because I laughed so hard. Fuck him up, Al. Told you guys. I'm telling you guys. Dirty Grandpa. Great movie. No more tips, by the way. If you send me one more tip, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. Cody Butler says, yo, Colin, when are we going to get some new episodes of Washington's Beard? and he wants me to do a political podcast. I can't believe some of you still care about Washington's Beard. The show is really old. It's like over 5 years ago we were doing that show. Slow your roll. Colin only has so many hours in a day, okay? Krios says, top of the morning, fellas. Hope you're having a great week. Here's a 30-second fun clip I'd like to risk my chat privileges on. May the odds ever be in my favor. Are you getting these links from the thing?
Yeah, I've, like, just closed a bunch of them.
Because they're bad?
Yeah, one of them...
Are you keeping in mind whose is bad so we can ban them?
No, because if we don't watch them, we don't ban it. If I watch...
Oh, but we are playing the banning game, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Banning for life.
I love that.
Yeah, there's no banning here. We're all welcome. Love everybody. Mm-mm. Love is good.
You guys are playing a dangerous game of acceptance. This isn't Soviet Russia.
I know, but you're creating... This evil land where there's no fun, you know? You got to risk it to get the biscuit, Carl.
No, he's making it more
fun.
That's the
argument I'm making, though.
He's making it more fun. Thank you, Colin.
I mean, I agree with you, Kevin. I mean, I think that's obvious.
Now, what's for life?
What's more fun than a little totalitarianism?
Right?
I mean, it's a little risky.
Sure.
But it's efficient.
Let's get some clips, Kev. Is this the one?
What? No.
Oh.
His clip sucked.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I don't know who...
Let's finish the tips, and then we'll look at
these
things.
Tommy Tin Can says, hi, Colin. I'm loving Colin's outfit today.
His clip doesn't exist. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
That's bannable. The first trailer for GoldenEye Remake had a focus testing group in it, was the one with Tim. So we were looking at this.
This is a video we have.
Yeah, I remember when this came out, I was really excited about it, because I was like, oh, shit.
If you look closely...
Am I
going to
be in it? I'm not
in closely.
These were in L.A. I was in SF. That's what I'm saying. Like, look at this group of people. You don't know GoldenEye.
Well. That third guy definitely knew a little bit of GoldenEye.
That gigantic watermark is bothering me.
Which one? The first one or the second one?
Well, the second one's the red one's a facade.
Channel icon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but when I was working there, I was like, we need to move the watermark so there's not two watermarks on top of each other.
I remember how suddenly everyone started getting... I mean, everyone was always mad about watermarking, but everyone got really mad about watermarking eventually. And a lot of people stopped doing it. I don't know why. I mean, I understand why people would do it. NegNog28 says, Colin, what was your favorite place to smoke the crystal bassoon during your time at Northeastern? P.S. I hope you stopped by campus during your PAX East trip. Go Huskies. Well, Whitehall, Willis Hall.
All the halls.
West Village. And everywhere else I lived. True SB says, Colin, do you have any book recommendations similar to Horizon's caveman futuristic setting? No, I think that's what's so unique about it is I've never heard of a story like this, but I'm sure one exists. Nathan 950445 says, if PS4 launched with Uncharted 4 and nothing else, would it be worth it? Thanks for all the good content. Hashtag Zelda hype.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
It would have been a better launch.
I mean, Uncharted's, you know.
It would have been a much better launch.
Uncharted's on a different level than Zelda, though.
What?
I said, damn.
The nanobiologist says, with RT sale on onesies, have you all considered selling one as well for maximum comfort once the retailer issue has been resolved?
Well, onesies are in the talks. There's a lot of things that were new products we've been working on for 2017, but with all the issues, we can't launch anything right now.
Plain Jane Francis says, birthday tax, I turned 27 yesterday, and to celebrate, I released a mixtape called Send Nudes. Tim, I think you'd like the cover, which I shot. It's safe for work, I promise.
I'd like to see this.
I'll show you.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Go ID Persona says, Colin was right, keeps getting better with every episode. Keep up the awesome work, Colin. Also, can you get Kevin to do his creepy eye thing?
I don't know what that means. I have a creepy eye thing?
I think it's the shark eye thing.
By the way, Plain Jane Francis, and it doesn't matter if it's safe for work or not. We own this business. This is the tool to get Kevin off the screen.
Yeah, that's it.
He's like, this is so serendipitous, Kevin. You're too good. Oh my God! Stop!
It goes down so slowly.
So this is the album cover.
Okay. Wait. I'm sorry. We're not showing it yet. Nope. There it goes.
Interesting.
Looks like a woman eating a cake.
Yeah.
That has candles on the cake.
Well, and I'll listen to the song later because I'm intrigued by the title.
We can listen to
it
a
little
bit.
I'm a big fan of the send nudes meme. I'm just a big fan of sending nudes. Anything about
but
that.
But the meme is really cool, too.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Have you seen this? Do you know what you're talking about?
With what?
Just like send nudes being hidden in a bunch of messages. Oh, like no. Subliminal messaging to people.
It's someone eating like Cheetos, and then they drop the bag of Cheetos, and on the ground, the Cheetos are already set out to say send nudes. And like the camera pans from the dropped Cheetos to those, and it's like, oh, so that's good.
Fun. I didn't see. I'm not a young man anymore. Let's see. Connor Tatum gave us a tip, but said nothing. Mr. Manager 0803 says, Colin, I had a dream that the next Love and Sex Stuff featured a tasteful menage a trois between you, Dana Perino, and Candace Cameron Bure. Sounds fucking hot. Nick provided voiceovers for all three of you, and Tib did commentary.
I like it. Let's make it happen.
Mario Not Bros says, hello there, guys. Good to see you today. Good to not be banned. The next couple of weeks are insane. Horizon, Patreon Hangouts, Logan, Switch, Ed Sheeran's new album. Mm. Can't wait for it all.
We ban him? I thought he was banned.
That's a, you read my mind. No. Way too much excitement. You know what to do, Kevin. Thank you. Take care of that for me. Sorry we are with the little face with the eyes, zeros and those. Colin, since I know you like a bit of intellectual news on the show, did you see the NASA news? Tim, Google X on the Beach. It's similar to the show you pitched. Also, you forgot Games with Gold news.
X on the Beach. Interesting.
Trainwreck says, do you notice how Jeopardy adds French words in questions so Alex can remind you he's French Canadian? Then he corrects the contestants when they say words wrong. He can lick my balls.
I like that we now have beef with Alex Trebek. Are we going to add him to the list, like Nick's list? Who does he have beef with? Golem?
Yeah, what's his name? Something.
Andy Serkis,
that's it.
we only have a few more tips.
Oh, yeah. We also have beef with Central Time.
Yeah, Central Time.
All Central Time. Central Time. Whoa, Colin. We're a team, okay?
Okay. J-Po says, happy anniversary to all the OG Vino owners out there. It is true. That is the... Oh, it's the 22nd. It is the 5th right anniversary.
Didn't quite frame the Vita in.
Two more. Wanch says, hey guys, there seems to be a bit of an exodus in the games media in San Francisco, where people are breaking off and doing their own thing. Drew Scanlon is the newest one.
What's he doing?
He didn't say. He's going off on his own. He says, is this a symptom of San Francisco's pricey cost? Maybe. No. I think it's more in line with the fact that traditional games media is dying and people are going off to do their own things. And I think that's great. So the next evolution. One day what we do will be dead too. That's the way it goes.
We'll be doing something different.
Yep.
I'll be on the up and up.
Do you think it'll involve lightsabers?
No. It'll probably involve 6 seconds.
Do you think
videos.
It'll involve this?
Potentially.
Look at this.
Roll the clip. Oh, I'm excited for this.
There it goes.
Yes.
Look how scared he looks.
Tested in Moscow. That's a little disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Oh, my God.
The FCC's got all these restrictions.
This is pretty cool.
This guy's got some balls driving that inside.
Oh, you don't want wind touching this.
Yeah, but he almost took his head off on one of those beams.
What? I think the beams were really hot.
No. Watch that video again if you don't believe me. Obi-Wan Kenobi has the final one. It says, hey guys, recently started watching Neo Genesis Evangelion. And I'm really enjoying it. What are your thoughts on the series?
Fantastic.
I've been watching forever.
Yeah, we'll see when it actually ends.
All right, that's it for the tips.
I think that beam.
Kevin, Tim, that's it for the tips. I don't have any more time for the tips.
Done with the tips. We're done with the tips. So I'm going to do a little giveaway action right here.
Are we not doing the Alex Trebek?
No. Nah.
Really?
Can I borrow your plug?
Yes.
By chance?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, sorry. Oh, bloop, bloop, bloop. You want to put it behind you?
Hold on a second. No, it's just... There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Should be good now. The giveaway every day, you have 4 different ways you can win a video game digitally sent to you. 1, being in the Twitch chat like you all are right now. 2, subscribing to Twitch, which is pretty easy to do, especially if you have an Amazon Prime account where you can sign up for free once a month to a different channel, including ours. 3rd way. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, and at the $2 above level, you're automatically entered for giveaways. or four, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and do the same thing. Four chances to win, Colin. How exciting is that?
I mean, it's exciting. It's four times more than you deserve.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Today we're giving away Towerfall Ascension on the Xbox One.
Wait, is it too early?
No. Well, a little bit. But the winner is from patreon.com/kindoffunny, and his name is Mateus Nelson. Congratulations, Mateus Nelson. You have won Towerfall Ascension on the Xbox One. Fantastic game. Lots of fun.
It is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree with you and say that you're a liar about that.
Yes. A liar, I am not. Going to read some things in the chat for a bit. We'll do the old three and three, as they say. Three and normal.
Yeah, three and three. And, it's a two, it's, it comes from the two and two.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck Woolery, for all of you old people out there. There's some old people out there.
One thing in the chat here is a Polygon article. The Fate of the Furious is reportedly 160 minutes long. It's
2 hours and 40
minutes. That's almost 3 hours of Vin Diesel. Fuck yes.
It's like Gods and Generals.
Oh my God, I love it.
But good.
Oh, I love it.
Gods and Generals is rough.
This is going to be great.
It's a rough one. I had to go see every history movie at some point in my life.
Yeah. Star Wars, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story was only 2 hours and 13 minutes.
That's really sad.
It's fucking excessive. Oh, I love it, though.
I'm sure you do.
I do so much. They're adding so many characters to this one. We're going to get introduced to Helen Mirren, the mother of the bad guys from the last two movies. How fucking perfect is that?
I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie since the second or third one, I think. I think it was the last ones I saw. The one that took place in Japan. Was there one in Japan?
Tokyo Drift, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. I saw that one. Yeah.
A lot of people say that's the best one, so good for you.
A lot of people do.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
It's my favorite.
No. He doesn't mean it.
It's actually my favorite.
He doesn't mean it.
I do mean it.
No. Six was the best one.
Six?
Six is not the best one. We're not getting into this.
It was pretty good. You know what? Right. No, seven was the best one.
Next team Crash says, Tim, if Crash Bandicoot comes to Xbox, do you think it'll feel like blasphemy? Hashtag save the Bandicoot from Xbox. Nah, man, I'm all about spreading the love. Like, this is one of those few times where it's like, it being exclusive is not going to help the game. It being non-exclusive is going to help the franchise. So I'm all about it, man. Share the love. Let's get the Bandicoot where he needs to be. Back. Middle of On says, Colin, thoughts on Sam Harris? Also, Neil deGrasse Tyson just did an episode of Joe Rogan's podcast, and I highly recommend you listen to it. Absolutely fascinating.
Sam Harris. Oh, I've heard of this guy. I don't know anything about him. Sorry. No thoughts on Sam Harris.
Rabbit on Strike says, are you guys concerned about there not being any news on the Switch Virtual Console? I'm not concerned. I was concerned when they didn't talk about it at the conference, but now that they haven't talked about it, it's pretty obvious they're just not going to talk about it until they have something to say. Like, it's just like,
this is a soft launch. It's so ridiculous.
It's going to be what it is.
It's so
haters are
going
to hate.
I got mine. I got mine coming.
Are going to have a lot of fun.
Call me a hater, but world. Yeah. But I bought one so I can play that fucking Zelda game.
Hell yeah.
Better be good.
Hell yeah.
Better be good!
I'm real concerned that, personally, Zelda and Horizon are going to injure each other. Because I didn't get what I wanted out of Horizon because I wanted it to be Zelda. And I have a feeling that playing Zelda, I'm going to be like, ain't Horizon.
I'm about to blow you guys' minds. You ready for this one? It's a decent chance Horizon sells more copies than Zelda.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Between
Wii U and?
Yep.
And Switch?
The Horizon, so Greg made fun of me, or not made fun of me, but disagreed with me on PS I Love You, where I was like, Horizon will sell somewhere between like 6 and 10 million units, I think I said. And lo and behold, Super Data Research says that it's probably good for about 8 million sold. I don't know that Zelda can reach that simply because, just because.
A 2 million max on Switch,
right.
Plus the Wii U, but so many of that audience are going to transfer over to Switch anyways. Yeah, I mean,
Which is kind of, I mean, but it's also shocking. It's worth keeping in context that Zelda never really sells that well. The last Zelda that sold actually extraordinarily well was 19 years ago, was Ocarina of Time. And actually, Majora's Mask sold pretty well too, but like Twilight Princess did fine. That's in like the 8 million region, I think. But actually, Skyward Sword, I think, got outsold by Uncharted 3, like 2-1. So it's not like a huge surprise there. I think it's just the proliferation of, like you said, no Switches. I think some people are kind of waning on Wii U.
Yeah.
And so if the numbers with Horizon hold, Horizon deserves sales like that. Horizon is going to be the next big thing for Sony. So it's we'll see how that all shakes out. The good news is that they're both, like, we know Horizon's great. my assumption is that Zelda is going to be awesome. So I can't imagine it not being awesome. What a disaster if it's not good.
Just looking at it, though, I mean, Horizon is it's fucking breathtaking. It is such a technical accomplishment. And then you look at Zelda, and I'm like, why aren't you this? Just visually, like, oh my God.
I mean, that's why I said everyone, and people still bring it up to me. I'm like, when I played it at E3, I'm like, this is obviously going to be fun. You know, Zelda's Zelda, and we enjoy that, but it certainly looks dated.
It does. I like the art style. I like the concept art of it, right? But yeah, looking at it, I'm like, it feels kind of empty, and I'm not against that necessarily. Like, even Zelda 1 was empty, but like, that didn't take away from it. Yeah, that was an NES game, but it's also kind of the charm of what Zelda is. Like, you don't need to have hella people around. But Horizon, man, that shit looks fucking great.
I'm telling you guys, and you know, for those that don't listen to PS, I Love You, we did a Gamescast, which I think will go up tomorrow-ish. We talked a little bit about your thoughts with Horizon. Just want to reiterate, that game is fucking fantastic. Like, I really, really think that game is extraordinarily good. I think people are really going to like it a lot.
I mean, the reviews say...
Very excited.
The same.
Very excited for people to play it. And likewise, I assume, I don't know when the Zelda embargo is, you know, we have it, but I'm waiting for, I'll just get it in them. And I'm really trying to save it for when we go to Boston. My assumption, my Metacritic prediction of Zelda, 86. That's my Metacritic
so
prediction.
So here's the thing. 86. So speaking of Metacritic, Luker8125 says, hey Colin and Tim, Horizon's sitting at an 88 right now on Metacritic. Do you think it will go up or down after launch?
Down, it can only go down.
That's the problem, is like once you get those main outlets, like everything else is just...
People have to understand that there's that Metacritic is weighted. Like IGN and GameSpot and a few others are weighted way more than another group of outlets which are weighted way more. Those guys always get their shit out early. So even if... And I know this only because I was a critic, so I looked at Metacritic and I was interested in it after everything went up to see where my score kind of settled compared to everyone else's maybe a week afterwards. Metacritic scores never go up.
Yeah, so I'd be shocked. I do feel like it deserves more than an 88. 88's high, but this game I feel deserves at least a 9 on that, or a 90 on that scale. Zelda, I don't know, Zelda's hard with Metacritic because there's so much baggage that goes into reviewing a Zelda game, I think in both ways, where I think that regardless of even playing it, I think people are going to give it 10s, and I think people are going to give it 7s. Just because of what they're bringing into the table on it.
Yeah, I wonder if the expectations are going to help or hurt it this time around because the game was in development for so long. It's also a response, I think, design-wise to Western role-playing games. So I think now you're going to be able to... Now you have to compare it to these games. And I don't know that Zelda can stand toe-to-toe with The Witcher 3 and stand toe-to-toe with Horizon and stuff like that. I just don't know that it's possible. But we'll see. We got to judge it based on... It's going to have its own unique charm. There's no doubt about it.
My thing is I'm really hoping that that there are dungeons... in some type of traditional sense, or that the new shrines or whatever do have that magic that Zelda dungeons have, because that is the thing that I thought Horizon lacked, was real moments where I feel accomplished, and it feels more like I'm going through the story of
it. Yeah, I agree.
But again, that's why I think that both games are going to negatively affect my time with both of them. I wish that they were separated a bit more. Like, I think it would have been nice if Zelda came out and then Horizon in the fall, or vice versa.
Right.
But here we are. Real Radic 13 says, Colin, what are your thoughts on the all-star NBA players believing that the Earth is flat? Do you think it will start a dangerous new trend of people believing something that isn't true?
No, I don't think people really believe that. So, I mean, this is an old argument, too, the Earth is flat thing. Some rapper or something a while ago was having, like, some sort of Twitter conflict with, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson or something about it. No one believes that.
But Colin,
it's observable in the natural world. Colin, you don't need to have space, like, pictures from space of the Earth. The ancients knew the Earth was a globe.
The universe is flat. Colin.
Well, a plane of the universe is flat, but when you put all the planes together,
the whole universe is flat.
No.
This is... Come on, Colin.
All right, let's get into sub-only chat.
Like, 3,000 years ago, the ancients knew that the world was a globe. No one believed... Like, one of the great... And I'm sure a lot of you know this, but one of the great myths of even the Age of Exploration is, like, Columbus and his people thought they were going to fall off the edge of the Earth. No, they didn't. They saw that that things fell off the horizon. They went past the horizon, and the only fucking explanation was that the Earth was round. They weren't dumb. Anyway.
Rabbit on Strike strikes back and says, following my last question, when do you think the Switch Virtual Console will arrive, and what games do you expect to see first?
Who even cares anymore?
I'm interested in this because I doubt that there'll be Virtual Console the day it launches, and I think that that's why people are so, how have you heard about it? It's like, it's not going to be there. I think there'll be a direct at some point, and they're going to be like, here's the games, and that's going to be the game changer of what happens, because that could be like GameCube games are coming. You're getting the rumored Melee and Luigi's Mansion and Mario Sunshine and all that stuff. And it's like, that's when the Switch starts getting really fucking awesome. And I feel like that is the, all the issues that I have with the Switch conference and stuff can be answered pretty easily. Mm. They just need to answer them, and they just need to answer them quickly. Because if they do the shit where it's like, here's Mario Bros. 1, 3 months later. Here's Mario Bros. 3, 5 months later. Oh, here's 2. It's like, no, guys. We've done this for 15 years now.
I mean, here's the thing everyone has to prepare themselves for, and this is just the reality of the situation. Prepare yourselves to not play the Switch very much.
That's
not true. Just letting you all know, unless you want to play, you know, Disgaea 5, which came to PS4 like 3 years ago, or, I don't know, like some game with a silly name from Square Enix. That looks pretty good, actually.
That game looks fucking fantastic.
That will definitely not only be on the Switch. So, don't know if Square Enix will make those mistakes again.
Yeah.
I'm really down on the Switch's prospects. Like, I don't know how anyone, I'm not saying there's not going to be good games. I'm buying one. I want to play Zelda. I want to play Mario, and et cetera. And so I love the virtual console.
It's going to replace your Vita, if you let it.
Nothing can replace the Vita. But I'm really down on its prospects. I just don't see how anyone can possibly be really that excited about this thing. Like, I just don't get how anyone can possibly be that excited about the Switch. Just don't understand. It's not for me. But for some reason, I'm still buying one.
Shit. Oh, fuck, that was a good one. Anyways. Jose ME92 says, any tips going to a general admission concert, participate in mosh pits or no? Just wondering, because I'm going to see Metallica soon.
Ooh, that would be a great show. When I was younger, I used to get kind of crazy with it. Ramon was really crazy.
Mosh pits can be scary, so prepare yourself. You know, you're going to get bruised at some point. But my thing is, if you really care about the music, I'm all about the get in the experience. Get fucking in there. The people standing in the back trying to be cool, you're not going to have as good of a time as the people that are in the action, freaking feeling it, standing there for 7 hours. Jammed up against people sweating and shit. It's like the moments of discomfort, when you think back to that concert in years later, you're not going to think about how hot and sweaty you are. You're going to think of how fucking awesome it was.
Yeah, moshing is, I mean, and all that kind of stuff. Just being on, I mean, I always just like being on the floor. I'm too old for the collision of it all anymore, but I love that. I mean, Ramon used to be a stage diver. He used to really get up there and do his thing. Mm. It's fun. I mean, being young and brash at concerts is one of the fun things. I love going to live shows. Enjoy yourself. Metallica, that's going to be great.
Let's see. Oh, God.
ZMD113 says concerts are the worst. What? Are you nuts? Going to a live show with a band you love that's great live is like some of the best things you can possibly do.
It really
crazy.
Is. One of the best things in the entire fucking world. And finally, Fanatic Gamer 1986 says, any thoughts on the Kinda Funny Morning Show being number 2 on iTunes? Would link to this iTunes chart that for games and hobbies, we're right behind Car Talk, which is really, I don't fucking understand how these charts work. They're bullshit. Like, I think that we're only there because we release things daily and that these charts are an at-the-moment thing, so we're just consistently there. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that the morning show's there because PS I Love You released yesterday, so it's there. Mm. Otherwise, Gamescast, when it comes out, it's there. It's like...
The only thing that's interesting about this, and we've been very self, very demeaning to ourselves about this, is that Car Talk hasn't even had a new episode in years. And it still just dominates.
Yeah.
Like, one of the guys is dead. You know, like, Car Talk fucking rules. If you guys have listened to one show, don't let it be this one. Let it be Car Talk. Because it's way better. I don't even own a car. I don't drive a car. I don't know anything about cars. I used to love that show. Those guys are so fucking funny. They don't even try to be funny. They just know how to do it. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? They just know how to be.
I know what you're saying. All right, Cole.
All right.
We're done for the day.
All right. Let me make sure. Should I read the...
Read the subs and resubs and all that shit. All
right. If I read your name, you're a new sub or resub here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We appreciate you very much. Let's see. Cody Butler, Captain Tutu, says, 8 long, hard, and girthy months with you beautiful men. Keep up the great work. Digital Main says, Kevin, please wear the red hat for one moment.
No.
Born Again says, Sony always wins, baby. The PS4, that shit is slick and black. I mean, oh, no, that's the tip. I'm sorry. I read that tip. You got fucking bang for your buck today. Born against. ChickZ11. The Timid Terrapin. Terrapins are turtles. Says, go team. Big McHaggis. Says, loving all you boys do. Keep fucking that chicken. Hail Colin. Shortfuse06. Zizu79. ArrowZ. Mac Euphuron, Gold Persona, Hayden Likes Gold, Goody Will, Ninja Kraken, Mal James Jr., Holy Cow, It's Chris, Digital Samson says kinda.
Funny.
Plain Jane Francis says 5 months. Hashtag Plain Jane Francis. Hashtag send nudes.
Yes.
Shake Preman. Big Bad Beluga says, I've spent 2 years with you beautiful dudes, and here's to many more. Also, can you guys move the day Kinda Funny Live 3 tickets go on live so my wallet doesn't die on March 1st? Please and thanks.
No.
XOXO, nope, we can't do that. I hope your wallet does die because it's worth it. Willie Watt. Tyson Rhino says, 11 months now, still wondering what I'm doing with my life. You and me both. Tiberius the Cat. Sticky 112. Celeborn 1987. CityGov. Raider Ruckus says, take this Amazon monies. D-pad 420. Thank Rocky you. TT underscore. Cephron. J Samper 10. Rickane 503, no cheese, please.
Ooh.
Coup Patrol. Slow Steel 86, Nick the Mage. Leg, I guess. Bang, zoom, straight to the moon.
Yep.
Scott Tremper says, great show as usual. P.S. Colin, did you see 311's crowdfunding campaign for the next album launch day? I did see that. Fuck that. D. Finney, these guys are millionaires, by the way. They don't need to crowdfund anything.
Who cares?
And they should stop. And they should stop making records because it's diluting their live shows. I don't want to hear anything that was even fucking made since 2003. And now they keep releasing these records. And now when I go see them this summer, they're gonna have to play 5 songs off that record, which means it's gonna bounce 5 good songs off the fucking thing. Nonetheless, Micah Man, yeah, Slim Shady 296 says, jumping back on that Twitch Prime subscription. Sorry for letting it lapse, guys. It will never happen again. Will Lola stop chasing me now? No. The Ice 27 says, sorry for the promo, Colin. You should be. Why Skitch, Medin 89. For Tony Blaze It, Adam Blaine says, Colin, Taking Back Sunday are brand new. Are you aware of the beef between the bands and how their albums respond to each other? Cheers, guys. I'm from Long Island. Of course I'm aware. Brand new is my choice. ANF0012 says, 5 months, my dude. My dude's been there since the Beyond days, and I'm glad I could support Kinda Funny Games. Love and
thank
peace and bongos.
Thank you very much.
Straight Loken says, woot. Havoc45, the Hylian legend. Shrimper, I don't know, 83 says, thank you for this amazing show. I hope you guys write off all your work lunches each day. Justified says, pronounced justified. Mikey 1622, Balmung 68, and Average Josh. That is it, Tim.
Average Josh. He's the guy with the Doug avatar.
Yep. Yeah. That's all there is. That's it.
Until tomorrow, we'll see you later. Adios. Cut the feed.